We were talking in our last broadcast about the fiery furnace experience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What does the Bible say about our fiery furnace experiences and how to handle them?
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip, accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus, and in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen. Well, greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience worldwide. Welcome to our Bible study of the air, where we have been talking about freedom in the fire. In our last broadcast, we talked about the experience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace of King Nebuchadnezzar, where they were put in the furnace for their disobedience to the king, not being willing to worship his God, but to stand in faith for the God of Israel, their own God, whom they trusted would deliver them from the fiery furnace. When they were thrown in the furnace, a fourth man appeared on the scene. Nebuchadnezzar saw him and remarked that he was like unto the Son of God. Indeed it was, because he called the fourth man in the furnace his angel, that is, God's angel, and his angel is an Old Testament title of the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. So it was through the fiery trial of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that the unbelieving King Nebuchadnezzar got a revelation of who God was, who Jesus was, and was immediately and completely converted,
said, "There is none like unto the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the high God of Israel, and all shall worship him." And he said he would slay all those who would not worship him in his kingdom. Now, isn't that something? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a fiery furnace, but by faith believed God would show up on the scene, and he did. And not only did he deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but he delivered Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar got born again and confessed the Son of God that he saw, the fourth man in the furnace, as the high God of Israel, and decreed that his whole kingdom would bow down and worship. Needless to say, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were released from the fiery furnace, and they were given a promotion by the king. So after every tribulation comes the blessing. God saw them through, and not only saw them through, but saw to it that they got blessed. And those around them got born again through the witness of how God worked in their life, getting them out of the fiery furnace. Now, today we're going to continue our study because the fiery furnace experience represents the trials and the tribulations of life that we go through, what the New Testament calls baptism by fire. And that baptism by fire comes from the three sources of afflictions which there are in our life. And the New Testament scripture tells us that those afflictions come from the world, from the flesh, and from the devil. And we've got to be able to deal with all of them. But if we are born again, spirit-filled Christians, then we understand that we can call upon the Lord Jesus Christ in our fiery furnace circumstance, whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil, and he himself will come on the scene. The Holy Spirit, Jesus the Holy Spirit, himself will come on the scene as he did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He didn't send another man. He didn't send an angel. He came himself. And Jesus will show himself in your circumstance and in your situation by your trust on him and by your confessing him as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did before they entered the furnace. They were walking by faith, not by sight. And because they were walking by faith, and because God is a faith God, God responded. God came on the scene. God said what he had to say to them in the fiery furnace, and they continued to walk in the fiery furnace by faith, and the scripture said they were not burned. Their clothes were not soiled. And there was no smell on their body or no soot on their clothing. And they walked free and they walked into a promotion. They walked into a blessing. So we learn from the scriptures that when you are in a trial or a tribulation or a bad circumstance in life, God is getting ready to release upon you a blessing. God is getting ready to walk you through your trial or tribulation. He's not leaving you alone or unabandoned. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown in, they were not abandoned. Jesus showed up on the scene for them. Jesus will show up on the scene for you. But we have to understand the operations of the fiery furnace experiences. We have to understand how to deal with them. We have to understand what they represent, and we have to understand what the Word of God, a title of Jesus in the New Testament, what the Word of God speaks to us as to how to handle that experience. We want to start with our discussion of dealing with the world. We deal with three fiery furnace experiences in our faith walk. All of our problems come either from the world, the flesh, or the devil. There are no other sources. Any independent individual problem that we experience can be thrown into any one of those three categories. And so we must learn how those things operate, how they work, how they affect us, and we must learn how to respond to them by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who is walking us through this life, who is walking us through this experience called in Psalm 23, the valley of the shadow of death. This is a wicked world, folks. You don't need a Bible to tell you that the devil exists and that fallen angels and demons exist, because there's plenty more evil going around than there are people to do it. And all you have to do is look around and watch the television or read the newspaper, and you'll see that evil exists. You don't need to see a devil to know that evil exists. Evil exists, and it comes from the world. So we want to know about that, because we want to know our enemy and how to deal with our enemy. And we want to get the victory. So let's see what the problem is, and let's address today the issue of our fiery furnace experiences in the world. It begins in Revelation 12:9. We read, "And the great dragon was cast out," that is, cast out of heaven, "that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Notice that Satan was cast down to the earth, and a third of the heavenly host, the angels, fell with him, because they had disobeyed God, they had rebelled against God, and they were cast down to the earth. Jesus said in the book of Revelations, "I saw Satan fall to the earth like a bolt of lightning." It happened that fast. In Revelations 12:12, we read, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe," that means trouble, "to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." If you ever have wondered why the world is a fiery furnace affliction, it's because there are devils walking on the earth. Now, you may not believe it, and you may think that's not so, okay? But God believes it, and God says it's so, and he really doesn't care what you believe. God knows what is so and what isn't so, because he cannot lie, and he put it in his word. So if I were you, I would be wise, and I would think about your position if you're an unbeliever, and I would invite you to reconsider your position and just trust God that he is all-knowing, and if he says it's so, it must be so. God doesn't make mistakes. Men do. And so he says that they were cast to the earth, and now they are on the earth doing their ministry, which we just read was deception, deceiving the people of the world. And you know what that does, folks? It leads you into bondage to sin, and it leads you into bondage to evil spirits, demons. And they have intelligence, and they are invisible, and they are on the earth in a disembodied form, but they walk the earth. And you don't have to be a Christian to believe in them, because let me tell you something, the Hindus know that demons exist, and they also try to do exorcism of them, and they know that they are real, and so do the Buddhists as well. And there are also in the jungles of Africa, in the jungles of the Amazon, in the jungles of Borneo, primitive peoples who worship nature spirits, and who also know that some of those nature spirits are evil or malevolent, and they are not friendly to them. You see? Why? Because it's a common witness of mankind. One of the greatest deceptions that Satan ever put on mankind was the age of reason and the age of enlightenment, where during the Renaissance period and afterward, Satan got people to believe that demons and devils and things like that were superstitions and were folklore and were things which were not true and could be discarded. No, 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 my friend. These beings are in another dimension and know how to shift travel from one dimension to the earthly dimension and back. They are disembodied beings from the pre-Adamic civilization that was destroyed. That's Genesis 1:2 and Jeremiah 4:23 on. And so we learn from experience that they are here and they are ministering to the thought life of believers and unbelievers. In Galatians 4:3, we read, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elemental spirits of the world." Did you hear that? We were in bondage unto the elemental spirits of the world. Now listen to me, some of you folks. You're in bondage to sin and you don't know it. The world has brought you into that fiery furnace experience of bondage to sin. And you have gotten into either sexual sin or fornication or lust or perversion of one kind or another. And you have done it because you wanted to be free. And that's one of the common things we hear from young people. They want to be free. They want to be free to do what they want to do. They want to be free to have sex. They want to be free to have what they call love. They want to be free. And they find themselves, once they start having illicit or illegal sex or perversions or things like that, that they can't stop once they start. The same is true of addictions to drugs or smoking or alcohol. And they say, well, I don't seem to be able to stop. Oh, I can stop anytime. But the point is they don't. And what is the issue? The issue is that it isn't freedom that they've gone into, it's bondage that they've gone into, because if you have true freedom, you have the ability to say no to something equally as having the ability to say yes to it. In other words, you can walk away from it permanently as easily as you went into it. And most of those folks can't do it. They're in bondage, and they simply don't recognize that they are in bondage to spirits. So Jesus warns in Matthew 16:26, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Very dangerous situation to be in. You see, you can be in a fiery affliction in the world because of the things of the world, and not recognize that you are, especially if you're not saved yet. 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now listen, when we say love not the world, and when we say that the fiery afflictions are from the world, the flesh, and the devil, that word world in the Greek of the New Testament actually means the system by which the world operates. It doesn't mean the world itself. God does not call you to hate the world. Okay, that was a very loose translation by the King James translators. Okay, and how do I know that? Because the scripture says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him would have eternal life, shall have eternal life. Now, if God so loved the world, why would he be telling you to hate the world? Now, if you actually do a word study of the Greek for the word world, you will see that the actual word there is system. Love not the system. That is, the ways in which the world operates, the means by which the world operates, the corruption by which the world operates, the means, in other words, the system, okay? If any man love the world, that is the system, the scripture says, the love of the Father is not in him. So it's the system that will put a hook out to hook you in and to get you into bondage. And so because of that, James, by the Holy Spirit, warns us in James 4:4, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world," that is the system, "is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world," that is the system, "is the enemy of God." Now let's look at that a little bit. The word adulterers and adulteresses there refers not only to physical adultery, but spiritual adultery. That is, having other loves other than Jesus. Spiritual loves, like your denomination, okay, your local church. God calls you to love the church, the body of believers, the spiritual entity, the church at large, the remnant. He also calls you to love the people in your local church. But if you love your local church more than you love God, if you love your denomination more than you love Jesus, if it's more important for you to be a Baptist than it is to be a Christian, or more important for you to be a Catholic than it is a Christian, or more important for you to be a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or an Episcopal than it is to be a Christian, and then you have an idol. And God has to take your idol away from you. It's as simple as that. So God says, friendship with the system is enmity with God, you adulterers and adulteresses. See, and an adulterer is a paramour, okay, a lover on the side, okay? You've got other things in your life which are as important to you as God, okay? And that's, by the way, the same thing with the word fornicator. Fornicator not only means a physical fornicator, one who has physical sex, but it also means a spiritual fornicator in both the Hebrew and the Greek, which means to embrace false doctrine. Spiritual fornication is embracing false doctrine. And so it says, you adulterers and you adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the system is enmity with God? Ekthros in the Greek, enmity. And what that actually means is actively hating, being an active hater of God. Whosoever therefore, continues, whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the system is the enemy of God. Well, let me tell you, you have a choice. You can either ask God to help you walk out of the fiery furnace experiences of the world, or if you decide that you're going to stay in that furnace of the world, you're going to become an enmity. Correction, Mikey. You're going to become an enemy of God, so don't expect the fourth man of the fiery furnace to show up for you during your problems. It just isn't going to happen. God wants us to walk in obedience. God wants us to walk in trust. God wants us to walk in holiness. And what is the definition of holiness? The definition of holiness or sanctification, the two words are interchangeable. They're the same, okay? The definition of holiness or sanctification means separation from the world, separation to God. So to be kept from the fiery furnace experiences of the world and getting burned from them, you must separate yourself from the world and you must separate yourself to God, which is what is called the born-again experience. And once you do that, you will know that you are in the right place. 1 John 5:19 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world lies in evil. The whole world is a fiery furnace of evil, flames of evil. And we are walking through with the fourth man in the furnace, Jesus. See, the world is the valley of the shadow of death mentioned in Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, Jesus is there. The rod refers to his authority. Okay? Staff refers to his ministry. And he has the power and the authority and the ministry to see you through. It isn't the world of death. It's the world of the shadow of death. See, a shadow can scare you, a shadow can frighten you, but a shadow cannot hurt you. And so we learn from this that if we will just trust on Jesus and we will separate ourselves from the fiery afflictions brought to us by the world, Jesus will walk us through. And Jesus will give us the same reward and promotion and blessing that he gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace experience. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you out of the world and separated to God? That's what the born-again experience is. See, God doesn't say to leave the world. God says to be in the world, but not of it. Don't be of the system, but he placed us here to minister to others and to carry out his purpose for our lives. So it's not that we have to separate ourselves in the sense of isolating ourselves from people or the world. No, we have to be in the world, but not of it. But we have to be separated to God at the same time, which is the born-again experience. And let me ask you something. Are you born again? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Are you willing to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has for you, that He may bless you, that He may give you salvation from self, sin, and from space and time, the consequences of sin? Are you ready to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? He'll deliver you out of every circumstance. Yes, He will, just for the asking. Reach out to Him right now and pray this prayer with me aloud, being willing to repent of your sin.
Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith, and faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion and Holy Spirit baptized. Get into community with other Christians where they can teach you the Word of God. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, because the first evidence of Jesus' presence is the evidence of changed attitude, which changes lives. God bless you. Talk to you next week.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes, along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.